Be among the first to experience Ardent Community's newest luxury apartments in Galloway, Ohio, the Pinnacle and the Reserve at Parkside Village. Enjoy spacious modern floor plans designed for comfort, style, and convenience. Amenities built around your lifestyle, beautiful finishes, thoughtful community spaces, and the perfect location. Move in now and live rent-free for 2 full months. Start fresh in a place that truly feels like home. The Pinnacle and the Reserve at Parkside Village. Call or visit ardentcommunities.com to schedule a tour or check out our rent specials.
Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
I love Jazz FM because we play Jimmy Smith. That was Jimmy Smith with Stanley Turrentine with Prayer Meeting. Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musician shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guest today is Jack Scott, co-founder of Dashwater, the British sparkling water brand infused with wonky fruit and vegetables. Growing up on a Shropshire farm supplying household brands, Jack saw how imperfect potatoes were rejected by the brands and sent to landfill or used as animal feed. Drawn to tackle the big problem of food waste, it was while working in sales at Causton Press that Jack and future co-founder Alex Wright saw an opportunity to make a healthier alternative to soft drinks using surplus food. After 2 years of crafting their idea and, as they say, accosting pedestrians in Battersea Park with fruit-infused water from a soda stream, Dashwater was launched in 2017. They're now one of the UK's best-selling seltzer brands, and they launched their zero-calorie sparkling water with locally sourced misshapen fruit and vegetables to 1,500 Australian stores last year. It's lovely to meet you. Lovely to have you here. We've tracked you down, as we do with many of our entrepreneurs that we have on the programme. This is really good. When you look at me holding Dashwater in my right hand, is there a huge sense of pride, or is it something else, Jack?
I definitely am really proud of what we've created at Dash. I think when you see someone in the street holding your product, that will never go old. But I think as we were talking about just before we came on air, you always want more as a sort of a small startup. So I'm constantly wanting more and feel like the brand has got a long way to go before I can be satisfied with our progress. But no, of course, I'm really proud and we've got an amazing team and I really love what I do.
And where's this desire for more come from? Why is Jack Scott driven in the way he is?
Yeah, I think from a very early age, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, specifically in food and drink. I come from an arable farm in Shropshire. And I think being around the crops and being around the farm, I always just wanted to be involved in food. And didn't want to necessarily go down my father's route, which was a more of a traditional farmer, but perhaps use the fruit or the veg or the crops in a different way. So creating a brand really excited me from an early age. And that's where, you know, that entrepreneurial sort of spirit comes from. I think all farmers are very entrepreneurial. So perhaps a lot of that came from my dad.
I think that's true, actually, about farmers. We don't often say that. People think of farming, I mean, obviously, as incredibly hard work and tricky economically, regardless of subsidies or membership of the European Union or not. It's just tough, right?
Yeah.
But entrepreneurial, actually, is not a word that most of us think about. And what did you observe of your father in that role? What kind of entrepreneur was he or is he?
Yeah, I think you need to be incredibly resourceful on a farm. Because as you say, everything is very tight at the moment and has been for quite a long time. So it's always sort of understanding or seeing some of the different projects that they've got going on to perhaps diversify or, you know, create revenue in slightly different ways. So I think when I was growing up, I was sort of always very interested in that part of the business as well.
Do you remember how young you were when you were interested? I mean, were these kitchen table conversations? I mean, do you know what I mean? It's like some people, you know, I imagine not all farmers' children want to become entrepreneurs.
No.
Some probably want to run literally from the hills.
Yeah.
And others just kind of go, well, I'll take over the family business. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, that's a tough call. But they don't think about, I might go left and right. And what about, when did you start?
Yeah.
Thinking like that?
Well, I had a friend who told me we were coming out of a history lesson when we were about 12. And I said then I would love to start a food and drinks business.
So it's quite as you do. Jack Scott, normal 12-year-old.
So I thought that was pretty, I just couldn't believe that. But he was like, that's what you said. And also from a very young age, I remember the supermarkets going round in the trolley with my mum and seeing all these amazing brands around me. And I was sort of, from a very early age, really interested in, you know, why they exist, what they mean to people. You know, looking at a cereal pack on your breakfast table and loving the stories on the back. And those really sort of captured my imagination and were really sort of inspiring, I think, within me. And then over time, I think, became more and more interested in the industry.
You were mentioning then that your friend was reminding you of your 12-year-old self that wanted to, you know, set something up. You went and did some other things before you set something up. I mentioned Causton Press. I think you had an internship at Vesti
yeah.
Foods. What was that like? Was it you knowing that you were passing through and that you wanted to learn? And if so, what was your attitude in that period?
Yeah, I think I was quite clear visioned with that. I always knew that I wanted to start up my own business within food and drink, and then I would sort of plot my way of like, how was I going to do that? And it was about being around people who had successfully done it previously, and trying to sort of take in as much information as possible. For our industry, one of the key, you know, the hardest things is getting products on shelf. So I sort of started from the bottom, selling cans out of my rucksack, going into places and really understanding that sort of retail nuts and bolts and also selling something. So that was something that I was really keen to get under my belt to understand the industry. And then I met Alex, who was my, you know, co-founder, which was, you know, a hugely important moment to find someone. And we started scheming about different ideas with a shared interest in food waste. And that's when we sort of came up with the idea of Dash. So it was at our previous roles where we met. So these are all really important
moments. And in the same way, the farm experience and the potatoes that didn't make the cut, were all these things suddenly coalescing into, hold on a minute, what if the stuff that doesn't make the grade could be mixed with da-da-da-da? And is that, as you look back, nothing's ever quite linear or logical, but did you see those pieces colliding in front of you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I have such vivid memories of being on the potato grader on the farm in Shropshire at the end of our summer holidays and asking my father where were these smaller potatoes going, or ones with the slight blemishes.
And these are the ones that didn't make it.
They didn't make it, and they were going off on another conveyor.
I feel like I want to adopt them.
Yeah.
They didn't make it. It's okay. Come here. You'll be safe.
Yeah. And, you know, I was like, well, they're going to that heap over there, or they're going to use as animal feed, which, you know, was a tremendous amount of waste in energy, time and resource, because the buyer didn't want the smaller potatoes because they wanted to make perfectly formed chips. So those sorts of moments meant that, you know, there's something in that, and we should, you know, really champion or celebrate fruit of all shapes and sizes. So I thought it was a great opportunity to then make our sparkling water, which we use this lower grade fruit that other people say no to.
Stay with me for much more from my guest, Jack Scott. We'll be explaining how the moment in 2017 happened, and I'm intrigued to know just how you actually got it over the start line, as it were. He'll be back in a couple of minutes. Right now, though, we're going to hear a taster from the Mishcon Innovation Series. They can be found on all the major podcast platforms. Natasha Knight invites business founders to share their industry insights and practical advice for those of you thinking about getting into an industry and starting your very own thing, just like Jack. And in this clip, it's focused on retail. We hear from Tamor Atageci, founder and CEO of Papier, an online stationery brand.
The Mishcon Innovation Series. Insights from founders for your future business. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishcon Dorea.
The main thing I would say is not to be afraid. I think there's a lot of reasons why people don't do things that they want to do. And the biggest reason for it is fear that they don't have enough experience, fear that they don't have the qualifications, fear that, you know, for some reason or another, they're not equipped to do something. And I think actually, you know, my biggest advice is ignore all of that. You know, I didn't do anything in retail. I'd never worked in a retail company. I'd never worked in an e-commerce business. I'd never built a brand before. So you don't need any of those things. What you do need are some kind of core values, you know, perseverance and, you know, and also ultimately that real passion for actually building something from scratch which I think if you've got that, the rest will follow. When it comes to retail, I love being able to, you know, sell to customers. I love basically being a consumer-facing business. And that's one of the nicest things about retail is you are delivering something that the consumer needs every day. And you get to speak to them and meet them. I mean, we don't have a shop. We're a digitally native online e-commerce brand. But we still get to see and know that there are thousands of customers every day that's using the product. And I think that gives you a real thrill. And everyone I know who works in retail just has that big buzz of knowing that they are delivering, you know, tens of thousands of products to customers day in, day out.
The Mishcon Innovation Series. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishcon Dorea.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishcon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal.
All our former business shapers await you on the Jazz Shapers podcast. And you can, of course, hear this very programme again if you pop Jazz Shapers into your podcast platform of choice. My guest there is Jack Scott, co-founder of Dashwater, the British sparkling water brand infused with wonky fruit and vegetables. So I'm going to take you back to 2017. You're probably 26 years old. A fine age, Jack, to start your own business. So you and Alex have met. You're doing your stuff. The beginning, the moment of creation.
Yeah.
When it was actually a thing,
yeah.
What did that feel like?
Well, we launched into Selfridges as our first listing. So we thought that that would be an amazing sort of place to start. I remember it so well. It launched at around sort of lunchtime on a Saturday, and me and Alex were there with our cans sampling to...
In the food hall.
In the food hall, sampling it to various different people. So it was a great memory. And then it's all been a bit of a blur since
Has it?
Then.
Yeah.
We started off with places like Selfridges, Whole Foods, Planet Organic, which we call beacon accounts. And they meant that other accounts would hopefully follow suit because there was this new exciting drinks business that they should also stock. And part of that was coffee shops, boutique gyms, delis. So me and Alex would try and get around 25 accounts a day when we first got hold of the cans.
How did you do that? Was it just physically getting out there and seeing people?
Yeah, exactly. Getting into as many accounts as possible. We would give them free cans and see if it sold off the shelf. And luckily, a few people bought it and we were able to gain a little bit of traction, set up with some wholesalers. And that's sort of where it sort of started.
But just give me a sense, because I'm often intrigued by this bit, because it's where the rubber hits the road. You're going to a new place. You fixed up a meeting.
Yeah.
You go and enter into flashy gym in the middle of Soho, London, England, and you start having a conversation. How does the conversation start for you? They don't know you. They've never heard of Dash. You've got a bit of traction because you're in self, but not very much.
No.
What do you actually say? What gets it over the line?
Yeah, so... There's quite a few sort of sales tactics. I mean, first of all, you want to try and speak to the decision maker. So it's just trying to understand who that might be. And first off, we'd do a very soft sell. We would make sure the cans were cold. We'd have a nice little leaflet talking about what the product is, what we stand for, the wonky fruit message. And we'd put that leaflet with the two cans and say, look, I'd love for you guys to try that. Here's my contact details. And that would be the first bit. And then you come back the next day and hope that they tried it. And that's when you'd be send them an email and try and get a face-to-face meeting with them. And then hopefully after that face-to-face meeting, you have an opportunity to get stocked. But a lot of rejection.
A lot of rejection, I imagine. But if it wasn't great,
if
it didn't taste great and it wasn't great, would we not be sitting here? I mean, it sounds an obvious thing, but there's all the sales you can do in the world. But if the product's not great, then it's not going to sell.
Absolutely. Yeah, so at the end of the day, if you put the product on their shelf and no one buys it, then they're not going to be interested in purchasing it off their wholesaler going forward.
And rather than people thinking, God, you're sounding absolutely facile to say if it doesn't sell, it doesn't help. My point is really, you have to be very structured in reaching out. But in reality, it's about getting it in front of somebody and then the product does the talking. So your job at that point was to be super tenacious and energetic, rather than having some magic set of words that did the act itself of getting it into
No, tenacity is one of our values that we've got on the wall in the office now. And it's, as an entrepreneur, especially in the drinks industry, it's all about tenacity and making sure that you're being consistent with your comms and you do what you say. There are little things that we would do to help. Like we would definitely go and buy the odd can of Dash when it was on the shelf and tell your friends to go to the local coffee shop. But that's all part of the fun and does help a little bit in those very early days when no one knows about Dash or no one knew about the product back then. So there are a few tactics.
People know it now, so hopefully you don't have to resort to, can you just go down to the local cafe, Elliot? That would be great.
Yeah.
In terms of growing this business, obviously it's still quite young. You're 5 years in since you were chasing people around Battersea Park saying, try me, which I'm sure was a lot of fun. And you said tenacity is one of the values of the business. Scale is really important in this. If you're going to attack the food waste problem, you need, it's great to have the idea, which you know is important. I had the founders of our box on a while ago, attacking the same problem, which is fabulous. The challenge of making it bigger, of industrializing something like this, is really hard. Which levers have you pulled in order to grow? Because I know I mentioned you're in Australia.
Yeah.
Canning is a business, it's a thing. And I think I read somewhere that at the beginning it was kind of like we were going to do this in a smaller scale, well, and then we realized. Tell me about scale and how you view that.
Yeah. So for soft drinks in our world, we really do need to get to scale for it to become, you know, a really interesting business. You know, we need to be selling lots of the same product to get that economies of scale, to get cost reductions, because it's incredibly competitive world, soft drinks, which is dominated by huge multinationals, the Coca-Colas, the PepsiCos of the world, who are able to create their product for a lot less. So we've always tried to be really aggressive with our scale, and that started off small, but we've always had big ambition for the brand and believe that it's a brand that can become a household name in the UK, and that's really is our ambition. And we started off in those smaller accounts, but really proud that recently we launched into Starbucks and also Tesco, which is super exciting for the brand.
Has scale always been the ambition? And if it has, what stopped you along the way? I mean, you obviously need money to do that and funding, which obviously if you're a small business, small turnover is hard. And I know you have some interesting investors. That's obviously a really key lever for you. Yeah. Are you really comfortable having other people involved in the share of the business, or has that been a bit of a, I'm having to let go of my little baby here?
I think going into creating the business, we knew that this industry is very expensive to get into and to create scale. So Alex and I were always under the impression that we were going to have to raise capital. And the easiest way for that is giving away some of our equity. So to use that to our advantage, we've made sure that all of the investors that have come into the business would add value to us and really help us scale the business. So help us with those different hurdles throughout. So whether it's to do with manufacturing, whether it's people who are YouTubers who help us with brand awareness, or whether it's the founders of Sipsmith Gin or Logan from Beavertown, all guys that have scaled premium products here in London. So they've been imperative for our growth.
And they sound quite strategic partners. Did you go after them? Did you essentially initiate the conversations with them?
Yes, definitely. Again, it's back to that tenacity. And we aimed really high. And we wanted the best people for us to come on board. We were lucky. There were a couple of people who really saw the category and Dash emerging. An American investor who was director of Fiji Water. His wife picked up a can in Selfridges, and I got a call in the middle of the night saying, hey man, can I invest in your sparkling water business? So there are occasions where people have approached us cold, but mainly it's approaching them.
It feels like the moment's coming. You and it's been coming for a while, Jack. You know, you start in a small place, you focus on the independence, you've then got great people with you who have got smart money, not just money and all of that. What's going to stop you? What's going to get in the way of, you know, you realising your dreams and your potential?
Well, our main mission, aside from food waste and really shining a light on food waste at farm level, is to get people off sugar and sweetener. For too long, soft drinks have just been full of artificial sweeteners or sugar. So we really need people's palates and people to really buy into this more unsweetened, flavoured water sparkling. But I hope you agree that it's full of, you know, natural flavour.
I feel like you're going to do a research group. Elliot, I hope you agree that actually the taste is rather wonderful and you can, your palate can be adjusted.
Yeah.
As it happens, I love sugar.
Yeah,
you know, we all like sweet things, but this is yeah, you feel better, I guess, is what you were saying. That's your mission, is it, to help people realise that?
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't be taking on all of that sugar. And we really don't believe in artificial sweetness. So all of those diet soft drinks, we think are the devil. So we need to get people off those drinks and get them drinking more healthy soft drinks like Dash. And
sorry, but to do that though, because if there's obstacles, is the point that's going to take a while? Because obviously changing people's tastes is a difficult thing.
Absolutely. And it's convincing the retailers as well to give the category, you know, that space and attention to offer it to people. Luckily with Dash, that we do sell a lot direct to consumer. So we're able to bypass the retailers in a sense and get sort of directly into people's homes. But I think that would be one of our main barriers, is this seltzer category, a soft seltzer category, really exploding. And we want Dash to be at the forefront of that.
So it's essentially creating a category as well as selling your brand. Do you feel now, 5 years in, that you're about 100 years older than you were when you set this business up?
I definitely can't remember life before Dash. So it feels like an extraordinary length of time, but it's only been 5 years.
And how do you keep sane? How do you keep focused and not, you know, stressy about the whole thing? Because you're young, Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're not that young. You're hurtling towards mid-30s.
Yeah.
He says half jokingly, but you know, your experience on the planet is not that long, but you've had incredibly intense experience in the last 5 years, which is very different to just sort of sitting there doing a job.
Yeah.
How do you retain your calm and your balance?
I think when we first started, that was the most intense time, because you're on top of each other. You're not experienced. You know that it might not work, or you couldn't celebrate the wins. Whereas since then, we've had an amazing journey, which has been a lot of fun. And we now have very experienced people within the business who have done it previously, who have good experience. So of course your worries change, but I feel that over time it's become a little bit easier. And I know that we've got a great team and have full confidence that we're able to carry on. So I feel good.
And in terms of your own, you know, you started off saying, I'm not satisfied. I don't think I'll ever be satisfied. Will you ever reach the moment where you go, aha, it is done. My work is done here. Or is that just not part of Jack's DNA?
Yeah, no, I can't see that moment with Dash yet. I think longevity is really important for me. So I'd love Dash to be around for a very long time. So it's making sure that all the foundations and the business is built in the correct way for that future growth.
You're very methodical. You're very methodical. Continue to be methodical, and I hope you continue to enjoy yourself. Thank you for sharing some Dash with us. Raspberries, peaches, and all sorts of other flavours here.
Thanks, Elliot.
That's
great to be
pleasure.
On.
Pleasure. Just before I let you go, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
So it's by Nina Simone, and it's Ain't Got No, I Got Life. And I find it very uplifting and spiritual listening to that on the way into work.
That was Nina Simone with Ain't Got No, I Got Life, the song choice of my business shaper today, Jack Scott. He talked about growing up in a farming family and how a farming family is an entrepreneurial family, and that's really impacted him super positively. He talked about creating a category and what that means and how creative you really need to be and how much you need to drive stuff if you're going to make that a reality. And he talked about the importance of tenacity in all of this, and boy, did he exhibit a lot of that and will continue to do so, I'm sure. That's it from me and Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoyed that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishkon.com/Jazz Shapers.